Earl Monroe has joined us on Sports Byline USA. As I indicated, drafted in the second round by the Baltimore Bullets. And, of course, you had a great rookie year because you were the rookie of the year, finished fourth in the NBA in scoring. Did it seem like it was real simple for you when you look back and say, hey, what's the big deal about pro basketball?
Well, you know, I had a kind of a chip on my shoulder. And it was that, you know, when the draft came and they had the coin flip, it was rumored that I was going to go to Detroit. And Detroit had the number one draft pick, and the Bullets had the number two draft pick. And the number one draft pick went to Jimmy Walker, who had played at Providence College, and it was also Jalen Rose's dad. And I was the second person chosen, and I went to the Bullets. So it was a matter of me having to prove myself that I should have been number one. So I took that challenge, you know, during that year. And it wasn't easy because when I got there and there was a guy by the name of Don Ohl who was the starter, Don Ohl and Kevin Lockery. So I had to sit on the bench the first couple of games. And then a little bit later on, they traded Don Ohl away. And that allowed me to come in and do my thing. But it was a strange situation, and it wasn't easy. But I tell you what, after you average 41 points a game, you understand how you can score. And the scoring was easier than I thought it was. And, again, when I played in the Baker League, you know, I played against a lot of these guys as well.
I might point out that you had a 24.3-point average as the rookie of the year. And in that one game against the Lakers, you tossed in 56. Did you just think everything was going to go in? But as you've already pointed out, you really shoot the ball very well percentage-wise.
Well, you know, that game, you know, I had a real good pre-gamer. And if someone was to read this book, they'll see what my pre-gamer was. But it was a great game. I just felt so loose that whole game. And the interesting thing about that game was that there was a guy named Ben Monroe who played for New Mexico. And I think Jerry West thought I was Ben Monroe since he was on the West Coast. And, you know, he doesn't know that much about the East Coast rookies. So all during the game, he was calling me Ben. You know, good shot, Ben. You know, whatever, Ben. And so after the game, you know, we're going off the floor, and he comes up and he says, good game, Earl. So at that point, for me, it just seemed as though I was welcome into the NBA.
That first early years with the Baltimore Bullets, struggling team, they weren't particularly good, but then their fortunes improved when they started to surround you with some pretty good players. All-star Wes Unseld, also forward Gus Johnson, who you talked about, the very talented Jack Maron, and then a couple of guards, Kevin Lockery and Fred Mad Dog Carter. Tell me about that team.
Well, you know, during the latter part, after the all-star game in my rookie year, we probably had one of the best records you know, in the league after the All-Star game. So we were looking forward to, you know, the coming season. The next season, we got on another coin flip. We got Wes Unseld as our number one pick. And Wes was more of a steadying force, obviously a great rebounder and very knowledgeable about the game. And he kind of steadied everything in the middle. So that led for all of us other guys to, you know, do our thing because we knew the middle was taken care of.
Tell me a little bit about the style of basketball, the players that were playing the game, how they approached the game, because it was a different era than what we see now in professional basketball.
Well, I think when you look at teams and whatnot, I think teams were more solid, you know, from man one through 12. And that was specifically because, you know, we just didn't have that many teams, so there was more of a concentration of talent. But, the West Coast teams have always done the same. You know, they always were fast-break teams out in the West Coast. And on the East Coast team, they were more defense-oriented. But, you know, with the Baltimore Bullets, we were a run-and-gunning team. And we resembled, you know, probably a Western team. But we ran and we gunned, and we were a very exciting team. We had Gus Johnson, who was probably the best defensive player that I've ever seen. And Gus would play not only the forwards, but he would also play the centers, and he'd also play the guards if it was like an Oscar Robertson that was overpowering guys. So, you know, we were exciting. Gus would get a rebound and whip the ball behind his back to me at half court. You know, and then I'm one-on-one with whoever down there. And that, if that was the case, you know, we were going to score. Kevin Lockery was a real slasher, jump-shooting guy, and, you know, like hell-bent for everything. And he was the kind of guy that, you know, you wanted to play with. Like, he had no fear. Fred Carter could defense you up, and how he made the team was that Gene Shue was still playing, so to speak. He would play with guys. And you had to make the team, you had to play Gene Shue. So Fred Carter beat him up so bad he stopped. And that's how he got his name, Mad Dog.
I mentioned about the rivalries, and I don't think there was a better rivalry during that period of time than the New York Knicks and the Bullets. You guys went up against them, and they beat you, the first three, four times before you were finally able to beat them. What was that? What was the essence of that rivalry, Earl?
Well, it was two younger teams, so to speak, going at it at the same time. Clyde Frazier had come out of school the same year I did. He was, I think, number five draft pick that year. Phil Jackson also came out of school that year, and he was, I think, maybe a second-round draft pick. But the rivalry started a long time ago, at least for me. And, you know, I was trying to go to Southern Illinois, where Clyde was. One of my high school teammates was there, so there was that natural migration. And when they sent my film to the coach said I couldn't handle the ball well enough. But he had never, you know, nobody had taken pictures of me handling the ball. They just had pictures of me as a 6'3 center. And, you know, nobody wants a 6'3 center. But those rivalries in itself were some of the best rivalries I've ever been involved in. The first time, my second year in the league, we went from last place to first place. So we wanted to play the Knicks for that in the first round. Gene Shue kept me out of the game, two games, and so we were able to, you know, finish up at a spot where we would play the Knicks. And we played them, and they beat us 4-0. So be careful what you wish for. And so that was the first time. The next time we played them was the championship year, 69-70. That went to seven games, really hard-fought battle. And probably the best series that I've been involved in. To me, the most important thing for me was the competition of playing, you know, and just by saying this was such a great series, you know, the fact that we lost the series, you know, bears to the fact that it was about the competition for me. And the third time was the next year, and we wound up beating them in seven on the garden floor. And that was an exhilarating, you know, kind of thing. And to us, because we have trying to get over the hump for all these years against them, for us that was our championship. So, you know, after we beat them for the Eastern Division, we played the Bucks, and the Bucks beat us 4-0. And so I wasn't there long enough to develop a hatred for the Bucks.
We only have about 5 minutes left, and I do want to touch on some other things with the Knicks when you went there. After 5 years with Baltimore, there was an argument, a disagreement over a salary, and you were traded then to the New York Knicks. And this was a team that was kind of, you know, give the ball up to somebody else. Walt Frazier was there, and I wondered how that was going to work. But the one thing I will say about you, Earl, the great players are noted for, one of the things they're noted for is the fact that they make other players around them even better. and you were a great player, but I think you made Walt Frazier even better. What was that integration into the Knicks like for you?
Well, it's interesting because Clyde and I just did a segment on a TV show, and he said exactly the same thing. He said, you know, it wasn't so much of Earl doing this. I think Earl made me better. You know, it wasn't that he had come here to take my job, but for some reason I played better, which was his best year in the league that year. But, you know, I think in all situations, in order to have winning years, people have to sacrifice. And if you sacrifice enough, you know, you might be able to win. And I think that's one of the things that really stood out. When you look at that team that we had with Bill Bradley, you have with Walt, with Willis Reed, with Dave DeBuscher, and so forth and so on, you know, Jerry Lucas, you know, we had seven Hall of Famers on that team, and with the coach, and so it was, you know, it was understanding that, you know, these guys, some of these guys could have been, you know, big stars on other teams, but, you know, everyone sacrificed a little bit to be winners.
What was the catalyst of that championship team in 73? What was the key ingredient to it?
Well, I think, you know, it was togetherness and the chemistry that we had. You know, granted, they had won a championship a couple years, you know, prior to that. But I think this was a better team because I was on it and because they also got Jerry Lucas. And I think that really, you know, kind of set the tone, you know, for the type of team that we were. Even though we would be the same type of team, we had a little bit more firepower and whatnot. And then we had guys that were coming off the bench that were, you know, excelling as well. We had Dean Memminger, and also we had Henry Bibby. And, of course, Phil Jackson played a big role. And he's a guy that I think was very pivotal because in the previous championship, he had hurt his back, and he wasn't a participant in that. He sat next to Red Holtzman and kind of gained some knowledge about coaching. But in this series, you know, he was a very integral part.
We got about 2 minutes left, and when you think back on this and also about this book where you really had to go into, you know, kind of inside Earl Monroe, reflect on his life and what influenced him and what you did in basketball, what are you happiest with, Earl, about your life and also about your game?
Well, life-wise, I think I've been very lucky, you know, for being and doing the things that I've been able to do. A lot of it has to do with being in the right place at the right time. A lot of it has to do with a mindset as to, you know, wanting to succeed. And, you know, again, you know, sometimes it doesn't happen to everyone, you know, even though you sacrifice and whatnot. But like I said, I've been lucky in that regard, and I'm very thankful for that. And as far as my game is concerned, you know, I'm happy because it seems as though that game that I had kind of revolutionized the way play is played now. When we started in Baltimore, you know, Baltimore was going to leave and go to Houston. It was going to move to Houston. And after my rookie year, they started to see people in the stands. And it got bigger and bigger and bigger, and people enjoyed seeing somebody like myself. And, you know, at first they would call me a hot dog, and then the next day they would call me the savior.
In about 20 seconds, what would you like people to take away from this book, Earl?
Well, you know, it was a wonderful read, and even if you didn't like basketball, it would still be a great story.
Earl, I want to thank you very much. Our conversations have always been insightful. They've been candid. And I've always learned something from talking to you, not only about basketball, but, of course, living and growing up in South Philadelphia. I thank you for that, and I'm going to urge people again to check out this wonderful book. It's called Earl the Pearl, My Story. Thank you very much, Earl. Take care.
Thank you much. Appreciate it.
NBA Hall of Fame guard Earl Monroe, again, played 13 seasons of pro basketball. First five was with the Washington Bullets, and, of course, they had great rivalries. Games with the Knicks, and then 8 seasons with the Knicks where he finally picked up an NBA championship. That was in 1973 as a member of the New York Knicks. We continue across the country and around the world. Good to have you with us on Sports Byline.